I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about a house divided. We're going to be taking a look at this passage of scripture where Jesus says, a house divided against itself can't stand. A house divided against itself can't stand. This has some practical implications for our lives that we're going to be discussing today. But I was just reminded of this. My kids were watching a movie, and the hero of the story, the good guy, is facing a series of bad guys, and he's in an impossible situation, and he comes up with the plan. He says, I'm going to divide the house, and he starts putting the bad guys against each other, playing to their egos and this type of thing, and he gets the house divided, because a house divided can't stand, and it gets him out of this impossible situation. Getting to this place where we're unified, that's one of God's biggest goals. You look in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 talks about God's goal is unity, unifying things in heaven and in earth, that we would have heaven on earth. Talks about that we would all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, the knowledge of Jesus. This unity, this alignment and unity is a very important piece of our walk with God. But we're going to get started with prayer. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communion meditations is we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. This is the prayer that I pray every day. This is the foundational prayer that I use every day. There's other prayers that I use as well, but this is the foundational prayer that I pray, kind of developed over about 8 to 10 years of just refining my prayer time with God over that time. And then we take a few minutes to do the other half of prayer after that to examine ourselves before our time of communion. Let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. Thank you for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. And we've been putting the new part into the prayer here recently. Send us some opportunities to do good today, Lord. Opportunities to be a blessing. Send us people that we can help today. We ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, so we're going to go through the other half of prayer. And this is where we talk about our four fundamentals. Remember, you got to bring the fun and the energy into the fundamentals. Masters of anything are truly just masters of the fundamentals. And you master these four things through constant practice, through constant repetition. It's going to make a huge difference in how you experience your day. Now, remember, you got to bring the fun. You got to bring the energy. You got to wake up saying, you know what, something good, it's going to happen today. Something good is going to happen today. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice And I'm going to be glad. And when your feet hit the floor in the morning, you got to jump right into these things. Because every day, as time moves forward, another day, we got to keep, as we'll talk about here, repositioning into the light, our first fundamental. Every day, as time moves forward, time and space are connected, which means your positioning is affected. Every day, as time moves forward, you have to keep repositioning yourself back into the light. If you don't, you'll get left behind. You got to keep repositioning yourself back into the light every single day. And this is the on-off switch. Either we're positioned in the light or we're not. Either we're in light or we're in darkness. There's no in-between. To be positioned in the light is to be positioned in humility. It takes humility to receive forgiveness, to offer forgiveness, to let that forgiveness flow through us. To be positioned in the light is to be walking in forgiveness, which means to receive it from God, to forgive yourself, give yourself that same grace he's given you, and walk in forgiveness with other people. Which means we got to let some things go. Got to let some things go. And the motivation behind this forgiveness was love. It's God's love that was the motivation behind all this forgiveness. It's just simply spending time positioned in the light, spending time experiencing his love. And then letting that flow through you as well out into the world, where you love yourself the same way God's loved you and you love other people the same way he's loved you. Just a simple check we can do in our heart. We can be checking for just feelings of pride, like, oh, I'm better than them. I know better. I'm going to insist on my own way. Or feelings of bitterness or resentment, holding on to grudges, all those types of things. Just a simple check in your heart. Am I just focused on doing good? Love externally focused. To be in the light is to be externally focused. Am I just focused on doing good? Just being a blessing. I'm not worried about what other people are doing for me or to me. I'm just focused on externally focused on being a blessing. To be positioned in a light is to be positioned in gratitude and praise. I think one of the greatest things we can do to stay in the light all day is to stay positioned in gratitude and praise. I can keep you positioned in this all day, which is a big deal because in the light, God has given us everything he has. I like to call it a pipeline of living water. And in that water is everything. His spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom, his health and energy and time and finances, everything he has is available to flow through you. And it's available right now. Today. That grace is available right now, today, in Christ. It's in the light. He's hidden it in there for you, not from you, but for you. And it's learning how to receive this from him and to get it flowing through us out into the world where we see the fruit of it. That's what we're after here. And this is a practice. This is something that we practice and cultivate and continually grow in. Now, our next step is we got to magnify the light. So first, we got to get positioned in. We got to turn the switch on. We got to get that flowing in our life. And then we got to magnify the light to build a bigger pipeline where God can begin to flow more through us. To magnify is to make bigger or greater. We're going to build a bigger pipeline so God can flow more through us in our lives. And we're all magnifying something every day based on what we're focused on, what we're thinking about, what we're talking about. Or we're just meditating on consistently. And whatever we focus on begins to expand. As we focus on God and his light and his word and his love and his faithfulness, it begins to expand that capacity where he can flow more through us. It also helps us to get more established in this so that we're more fixed and immovable and consistent and disciplined when the issues and problems of life come at us. So to magnify the light, we can be just diligently studying God's word, to be focused on his word, to be thinking about it and talking about it and rolling it over in our minds consistently, to be thinking about his unfailing love, his faithfulness, that he's always on time, that he always fulfills his promises. We can talk about his mighty works, that nothing's impossible with him. We can magnify our righteousness in Christ. We've got peace with God. We've got God's blessing and favor on our lives. And he eagerly desires to help us today. because we're right with him based on what Jesus did, not because of our own works. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us. We've got these rivers of living water waiting to be released out into the world. To be thinking about that and talking about that and meditating on that. The Bible tells us to set our mind on whatever is lovely and just and true and praiseworthy, to be thinking on these things. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have problems. But be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. If you stay positioned in the light, he will always cause you to triumph. You stay in faith, he's always going to cause you to triumph every single time. And this is simply choosing to magnify God as bigger than the problems. To acknowledge the problems, to bring them into light, say, you know what, I'm dealing with this, I'm facing this, this is what's going on. But to magnify God as bigger than those problems, to trust in him in those areas. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion and insisting on our own way, trying to do everything our own way. Staying bitter, holding on to grudges, snapping at people, doing all these things, complaining, dwelling on all the issues and the problems, just meditating on them over and over. We could just be dwelling on the past and all the bad things that have happened, keeping our record of all the wrongs that have happened to us. We could stay stuck worrying about the future. Dread of the future, or the uncertainty in the future, kind of paralyzes us, so we're not willing to take action today. We could just stay stuck in our own head, trying to figure it out and work everything from every angle in our own minds. This is where we got to get good at recognizing those symptoms. When we're positioned in darkness, everything feels heavy and oppressive, like all that weight and all that pressure's on you. You might feel hopeless for your situation, like you're trapped or you're stuck and there's no way out. I like to think of it kind of like a black hole. It just begins to suck the energy out of you. And you're like, why am I so tired all the time? Then there's the fear and the stress and the worry, that dread of the future. There's confusion. Because when you're in the dark, you can't see. You don't know which way to go, which step to take. You're tripping and stumbling over things, and you don't even know what they are. As you stay positioned in darkness consistently, you get bad habits, bad patterns, vicious cycles that just begin to develop. And they can become very hard to break on our own. But the good news is, when you get positioned in the light, it's nothing for God to break those things off of you. When you're in the light, number one, there's rest in your soul. And when you rest, God goes to work. When you rest, God goes to work. And it takes all that pressure off of you. And all of a sudden, you become more present. You become more externally focused. And you begin to see all these opportunities that were there all along. You just couldn't see them. And as you rest and God goes to work, now everything feels free and effortless and easy and energizing, because it's God's energy. It's his peace. It's his joy. It's his love. It's his mind and wisdom and power flowing through the situation. And all of a sudden, you've got hope in any and every situation. You start to get these aha moments, these flashes of insight, where you know that you know this is the step to take. This is the thing to do. And then as you stay positioned in this consistently, those bad habits, those bad patterns just begin to effortlessly break off of you. Those vicious cycles just begin to break effortlessly as God begins to set you free. And God gives us this amazing gift of grace, because one of our biggest challenges, I think, is staying positioned in this consistently, because life wants to knock us out. And remember, every day as time moves forward, you got to keep repositioning back into this. Every day, you got to do this every single day. It's why we keep doing this over and over. But God gives us this amazing gift of grace. If we ever get off track, or we've been off track for a long time, and we've never, ever even done this before, it just takes 1 second to turn it around. Today can be the turning point. Today can be the day that it turns around. Today, in 1 second, literally everything can turn, and you can start heading in a different direction. How do you do it? You humble yourself first. Father, forgive me. Forgive me for being off track. Forgive me for missing it, for focusing on those things. You forgive yourself. in the middle, if you need to reconcile with any other people, you humble yourself and you do that and you let that forgiveness just flow. And then you just start praising and thanking God for his love and his faithfulness and his grace and his goodness and his power. And you just stay positioned in that. And all of a sudden, it just begins to flow. That pipeline of living water just begins to flow through you, this amazing gift of grace. And that's available right now, today. And then we're going to stay tuned in. So we're going to get our positioning right first, and then we're going to stay tuned in. A simple exercise I like to do every day is before bed in a journal, is get myself positioned in the light first. Start praising and thanking God for the things that are going well. And then I'll ask this question. What was God trying to show me today? What's the most important thing you're trying to show me today, God? Is there anything I missed? If so, would you please repeat it? And then you just get still and you listen for a few minutes. And whatever begins to come into your mind, you just begin to write it down. And recording your journey, I believe, is one of the most important things you can do in our walk with God. You just get still and you write down whatever comes to mind. Because every day he's trying to lead us and train us and teach us and guide us to this beautiful, spacious place. We've got to stay tuned in for his leading and direction. And if you're ever unsure on what step to take, what to do, what he's trying to show you, just ask. He wants to show you. He eagerly desires to help. He's not trying to keep it from you. Just ask. And then wait until you know. Often we jump ahead too soon and we can get ahead of God. Wait until you know. And then the last part I like to do in my journal is to plan my next day with God. What do I know to do over the next 24 hours? God, is there anything you want me doing today, over the next day? Plan my day. And I'll list out. What do I know to do today? Is there anything I just know I need to get done? Maybe there's things around the house, things in your workplace, just things that you know to do. Is there anything in your conscience that just keeps popping up like, oh, I know I need to do that, but I keep procrastinating on it, or I just haven't done it yet? Things that you know you've been procrastinating on. Is there anything you feel like God's really giving you that nudge? You have a leading or excitement from him about something you're supposed to be doing today. And you plan your day together with God. And then it's simply about waking up, get yourself positioned in that light, and let's go ahead and execute that plan. And let's execute it together in partnership with God. Let's do it together with him, with a good attitude, with full confidence in him. He's right there with you to help you to execute these things. You don't have to do them on your own anymore. And as you do this, it does something like magnetize you. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of heaven. All these things will be added into your life. You focus on him. You seek after him. It does something like magnetize you and begins to pull everything you need, everything you're desiring into your life. It begins to pull them into your life. So let's take a look at the scripture today. A house divided. Matthew chapter 12, this is verses 22 through 30. It says, then one was brought to him, to Jesus, who was demon-possessed. He was blind and mute, and he, Jesus, healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? Now the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders, they were against Jesus. They heard it and they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. So they're saying he's using demons to cast out other demons. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, however you say his name, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? And then he'll plunder his house. He who's not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. So this idea of a house divided, I think this applies on many levels. So let's look at the first level, within yourself. Jesus says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. We've been talking lately about this idea of confidence. This idea of confidence where all the doubts and unbelief has been removed. But oftentimes we get to this place where we believe. We're like that guy in the Bible that says, I believe, but help my unbelief. It's like we've got these two opposing forces going on within us. We're positioned in light, but then we're positioned in darkness. We're positioned in light, we're positioned in darkness. It's getting to the place where we just sustain this all the time. And we're at war within ourselves. And often we're in that place of indecision. We're wavering back and forth. And whenever we're wavering, we're not really in faith. And nothing happens until a decision is made, until you get unified and in faith. Faith, being out of faith is being indecisive many times. So we got to get ourselves aligned where everything's going in the same direction. Hey, I'm solely focused on seeking after God. So first we got to get ourselves unified. And then it goes into, notice he says, every house, every city or house and kingdom. Notice we got layers there. So then we got to get our house unified. Husbands and wives getting aligned, getting unified together. Families getting unified together, and then cities getting unified together, and then entire kingdoms and nations getting unified together. Abraham Lincoln, I was doing a little research on this passage of scripture, and one of the things that comes up over and over is how Abraham Lincoln gave a very famous speech about a house divided cannot stand, talking about how the country was divided on the issue of slavery in the United States. There has to be this unity for things to truly thrive. And this is God's plan. He wants things to be unified. So first we got to get it in ourselves. Then we got to get it into our house and our family. And then we got to work out from that. This is God's progression. He works from the inside out. We got to get it within ourselves, then our families, then our cities, then out into the nation. This is the progression. But you can't start with the nation. You got to start from the inside out. So, Father, there's so much hidden in this passage of scripture. Father, we're asking for, number one, a deeper revelation of this concept of a house divided, this concept of unity. Just help us to understand the way you designed this to function. And we're asking for your help, Lord. We're asking for your help to get this right from the inside out, that first you would get us unified on the inside. We would get unified together with you first. We would get in alignment with you. And then we're asking for your help to get that to flow out through us, into our families, into our workplaces, into our cities, into our nations, Lord, to get us all aligned and united together on the same page. And when you get people working together in agreement and unity, nothing is impossible. Just think about the Tower of Babel. God said, when the people were building a tower that they wanted it to reach up to the heavens, it was not a good thing that they were doing, but they were working together. And God says, if these people are working together, nothing's going to be impossible for them. But a house divided cannot stand. Father, we're asking for your help with this today. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. He said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he said, take it. Receive it. That he makes you right and holy and perfect in God's sight because of his one sacrifice. And he wants to help us to create unity. Unity with him, where we're one with him. And then to create that oneness and unity in our house, in our families, in our workplaces, in our cities, in the people around us. He just wants to see it continue to grow from the inside out. Father, we thank you for this bread. And ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. To have a house that's unified, it's going to take some forgiveness and grace flowing. It's going to take some forgiveness and grace flowing, but it all starts, it all comes out of this grace that we experience from God, this covenant relationship, this covenant partnership with Him, getting united with Him, and then just letting that flow out through you into the world. Father, we thank you for this cup and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. So now it's about making today a masterpiece. Get yourself positioned in the light right away, first thing in the morning. Then start magnifying that light and pay attention to those symptoms. If you ever get off track, you turn it around quickly. Stay tuned in today for God's leading and direction. We're going to make our plan for the day with God and then take action. Do those things that you know to do. And do them together in partnership with God. You start doing this day by day. He's going to lead you one graceful step at a time to this beautiful, spacious place that's free from all restriction. I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.